Welcome back to New World Next Week. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. The screen went blank, flashed several times, and the phone appeared to restart. We have got that fantastic story, plus criminal courts. But first, of course, the biggie story around the world. Spain says migrants returning from Ceuta after 57 die in border rush. I've seen sometimes it says 60-something, sometimes it almost says 70-something. Grabbing this from Reuters. Spain said on Friday it reversed a huge rush of migrants into a Spanish enclave in North Africa, with most of the more than 50,000 people who had crossed the border by land and sea already heading back voluntarily. It does seem to me like they're overhyping the "oh, they all totally went back" angle. The Spanish government's representative in Ceuta said 57 bodies have been recovered on the Spanish side of the border and that there could be additional casualties on the Moroccan side. It said some drowned, some were crushed while trying to climb the breakwater that holds the border fence. Spain's interior minister said around 50,000 people had crossed the border and estimated that 48,300 had all returned by 6 p.m. the next day. Juan Jesus Vivas, head of Ceuta's local government, said as many as 60,000 people had pushed across over the past couple of days. Moroccan forces beat back crowds with batons and tear gas at the gates of Ceuta, trying to prevent more from entering the tiny Spanish territory that juts on a spit of sandy land into the Mediterranean from Morocco. Please put the map up on screen for us. The rush on the border caused division in Europe, with leaders of fellow EU states, a lot of Italy, called for Spain to ensure that the incident was contained. Italy said it was suspending the European Union's border-free Schengen arrangements with Spain, a measure set to affect people traveling by plane or boat between the two countries. Madrid said the move violated EU treaties. Reuters, at the enclave's border, saw Moroccan police in riot gear using tear gas to disperse some of the people amassed near the fences. Water cannons were deployed, and the charred remains of a bus and seven cars could be seen from clashes with the crowds. On the other side, Spanish military vehicles lined up along sections of the border as dozens of migrants watched from a hilltop in Morocco, unable to cross. Several hundred people could be seen returning to Morocco through border posts and holes in the fence, with some saying they couldn't find food or shelter in Ceuta. "Honestly, I don't even know why I came, and now I'm going back," a young military-aged Moroccan man who said he was from Tangier told Reuters, again, in the absence of virtually any women or children. "I haven't eaten since lunch yesterday, even though I brought some money with me. What we're doing is neither good nor enjoyable." Ayman, a 20-year-old hairdresser from the port city of La Roche, who only gave one name, told Reuters he had crossed on Wednesday after a five-hour swim. "There was no food inside Ceuta, and we were kicked out badly by the Spanish army. I'm not sure if that means it was mean that they did it or that they did a poor job at executing the kick out." The question from Global Research: is Morocco weaponizing the Ceuta immigrant flow in behest of the U.S.? And the other questions we wonder. Don't fall for the fake Fox GOP outrage. 2 weeks ago, the House passed a bill that greenlit the transfer of Spanish territory to Morocco. Every Republican voted for it except for Thomas Massie, but now they're all shocked. Shocked at the invasion. The migration weapon. How Israel, Morocco, punished Spain for defying them. Folks have maybe seen the AI gif of the boat that's Netanyahu's mouth opening and pouring out people. And you gotta have a little bit of media here for Monarchy. Javier Bardem amplifies conspiracy theory, blaming Israel for Spain border crisis. James, I went into this pretty heavy on my Monday morning show. Of course, one of my favorite parts is that the Prime Minister of Spain took off on vacation while all this was happening, and he shared his new playlist on social media of some of his favorite songs. So, of course, in Media Monarchy, we had to make up jokes and say, it was a lot of the Beach Boys. Oh, and the Fugees. Well, friendo, another week in the empire.
Indeed. Yeah, another week, another PSYOP, right? But actually, here's my hot take on this. As far as PSYOPs goes, this was a complete and total disaster for the would-be PSYOPers. Because not only, you know, of course, feel free to question the numbers involved here. 50,000 came, 48,300 returned. Trust us, bros. Okay, whatever. But surely a majority of the overnight Fugees have been returned. And it is, in terms of an invasion, it certainly didn't conquer this Spanish enclave. at least not yet. But more to the point, I think a PSYOP like this only works if the hidden hand is not exposed. But the hidden hand is very much exposed here. Everyone sees it. And who would have known about this vote in U.S. Congress about greenlighting, you know, okay, actually, Morocco, this is actually your territory, and we're going to go along with it. Who would even know that that took place unless there was a PSYOP like this to bring everyone's attention right to it? And who would know that Netanyahu's son had threatened exactly this type of thing a few years ago on social media, specifically warning Spain, hey, guys, you guys seem a bit anti-Israel, you better watch out with all that, you know, decolonization talk, because you guys might get colonized or decolonized. But also, yeah, who would know Morocco was part of the Abraham Accords, and there was this wheeling and dealing going on with Israel and the U.S. and all of this. I mean, again, it's just drawing everyone's attention to these things that otherwise, I'm sure, 99% of Americans, let alone people around the world, would never have even heard of. So, as far as PSYOPs go, you know, it's a disaster for the planners. And that's where we come in, you and me and everyone who's listening to this, to help spread this information even farther. Let's let people know what's really going on here. And by that means, we break the staff of the regime change slapstick operation here in their face and use it against them. Hey, not only did your little invasion fail hard, it exposes the weaponized migration weapon for what it is, and it shows the geopolitics behind this move and what's really going on here. So, I don't know. I just don't think this is the most successful thing they've ever pulled off.
I think you're using biblical analogies to help explain what seems to be very biblical here, breaking the staff in front of them. Why on earth is this U.S. congressional business? It would be one thing if you told me, oh, they were talking about this at the U.N. Why on earth is any of this being discussed in U.S. Congress? Because I kind of think if you asked any American, they'd say, I don't care, I'm starving and I can't pay my friggin' rent. But it was all, I mean, as far as PSYOPs go, it was all about the footage. The footage of just brown people running up on the shore. It's frankly shocking to look at. Also, as a New Mexican, I can tell you that Spain sucks. That's how we get going here. They conquered this area a couple hundred years ago. That's how we get going on New World Next Week, episode 639. Hope you are staying cool whenever, wherever you are, and we appreciate you tuning in to long-running, fear-free, ad-free alternative media, again, brought to you by you. Never seen ads on our work, never seen us shilling a bunch of weird products, just the work. When you look into our show notes, you see the links for the stories we are discussing. With disgust, International Criminal Court Prosecutor Karim Khan dismissed. Grabbing this from UN.org, everything we say, all linked up in the show notes. The decision was made by simple majority during a closed-door vote among the 125-member Assembly of States parties to dismiss Mr. Khan, who member states had elected to serve a 9-year term as the court's prosecutor in 2021. That's how the article starts, James. You have to get his full name from the headline. That's not generally how I like my journalism. I'd like to be introduced to the players in the opening article. Then we can, you know, once we define our terms, move on. UN does not use the trivium. The Assembly has decided by a majority of 82 states' parties that Prosecutor Karim Khan committed serious conduct and a serious breach of duty, and to remove him from office. The Assembly President announced, calling for the dignity and privacy of all those involved. The ICC, International Criminal Court, which has a cooperation agreement with the aforementioned UN, has issued several high-profile arrest warrants in recent years, including, of course, for Russian President Vladimir Putin in 2023 and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in 2024. Excited to see him not get arrested in New York, but it would be fun to see if, you know, a little something went down. The New York City socialist Muslim mayor is threatening to arrest Netanyahu, but he's even said, I'm not allowed, it's not going to happen. But it was a lot of good gum flapping. Continuing, the ICC Assembly will be charged with electing a new prosecutor shortly. Since its creation in 2002 by the landmark Rome Statute, the ICC has set international standards for adjudicating the world's gravest crimes with 7 convictions and a current docket of 34 cases. The court cannot make arrests without state support, in particular that of its 125 members, so it's good to be in the crew of the criminal court. Not all nations have joined, including Israel and the United States, both of which signed the Rome Statute in 2000 but have failed to ratify it. They're just, you know, backed up in the Congress. The UN and the ICC are separate institutions. Decisions concerning the court are taken by the Assembly of State Parties through its own procedures. And last year, Washington imposed sanctions on 9 ICC personnel, including judges, the prosecutor, and deputy prosecutors in connection with investigations of alleged war crimes against who? It's them again. Look, Israel. And of course, the United States. Misconduct allegations were made against Mr. Khan in 2024. Your relateds to this story, U.S. pressures African allies. I think this is the first story. U.S. pressures African allies to withdraw from the ICC threatens consequences. And from Guy AZ on the tweets, against the backdrop of the dismissal of ICC prosecutor Khan, a senior Israeli official tells me that Israeli Foreign Minister Gideon Sa'ar played an active role in efforts to advance the move. According to the official, Sa'ar oversaw a dedicated task force and employed intensive diplomatic efforts aimed at securing Khan's removal from office. And as the global research notes, Israel's ICC scalp, the downfallen chief prosecutor James, as I've been saying for years on Monarchy, in all our realms of political correctness and the words you are and aren't allowed to say, I can't believe people also say, oh yeah, they scalped him. James.
Washington Redskins? What? Okay, exactly. Yes. All right. So this is an interesting story because the timeline seems to speak for itself. Shortly after indicting Netanyahu and his military chief, etc., for war crimes, suddenly, oh, yes, there's this case against the chief prosecutor of the ICC. Now, I don't want to fall into a number of traps that are possible here, one of which is essentially defending the ICC as an institution and the concept of international law being adjudicated by the UN, etc. I don't think that is a good way to go. And for people who don't know about that, you can see, for example, I did a podcast years and years ago on international law and what that really is and the trap that's behind it. So I don't necessarily want to put it in that context. But clearly, there is a geopolitical element to what's going on here, and those machinations are spelled out in those related links that we're throwing in. But I will also not fall into the trap of simply saying that the allegations here and whatever is going on is totally concocted, totally untrue. I don't know that. I'm not part of this investigation. So to give the devil's advocate its due, I will throw in the link with Christian Amanpour talking, and she has a big 40-minute interview with this lawyer who's going public with the sexual misconduct claims. And you know what? I mean, it's a real human being who had real experiences. I'm not adjudicating those experiences, what may or may not have happened, but surely the timing and the persecution and the getting rid of Khan was clearly aimed as a threat to the ICC, which is already, even if we were to take all of that international law bunkum at face value, and they're the crusaders who are going to throw people, who has the ICC ever actually convicted? They've convicted precisely 7 people, every single one of them African warlords or gang leaders, every single one of them. No European, no North American, no South American, no Asian, no Australian. Of course, it is just there as a sort of show kangaroo court for convicting Africans, etc. And I guess that's exactly what Israel wants it to be, and would prefer it to remain that way. For people who don't know, there's a history behind this that, again, you can get into in the related articles we're linking up, where it wasn't just Karim Khan, it was the prosecutor before him who was targeted because they got a little too close to Israel and U.S. war crimes. So, yeah, it's obvious what is going on here, geopolitical machinations behind whatever real story may or may not have happened. I don't know, Karim Khan. I don't know. Maybe he is a total creep, whatever. But I think the way that this is being adjudicated and the way that he's been essentially railroaded out is not the due process that one would expect in a situation like this if it were being done normally. Anyway, people can read through as all those related links. There's a lot of information there that lands you into the heart of this story, which is a geopolitical story at its base.
On my Monday morning show, covering the situation in Ceuta and Israel's possible hand, weaving that story together and going back in time, Even The Guardian has a new article about how Zionism has controlled U.S. since Truman. It's time for that to change. Even, again, this feels like the worm has turned. Even The Guardian says, I don't know, it seems like Israel's a little big for their britches. And remember, like Mr. X said, if you're not careful, the news will have you hating the victims and cheering on the state. I am paraphrasing, of course. Our third and final story on This New World Next Week, episode 639, get this hero a cape. We were just doling one out a couple of weeks ago to a guy in West Virginia smashing the flock cameras. U.S. man accused of destroying evidence by wiping phone at airport. Wiping? Like with a cloth? A U.S. citizen is facing charges allegedly supplying U.S. Customs and Border Protection agents with a passcode that erased the contents of his phone during an airport interrogation. Samuel Tunick, T-U-N-I-C-K, an activist in a campaign to stop construction of a police training center in Georgia, is accused of destroying evidence during the January 24th, 2025 incident at Hotlanta's airport. Tunick, who has pleaded not guilty, faces up to 5 years in a cage of violating a law that makes it a crime to destroy property to prevent its seizure. It's unlawful seizure under the Fourth Amendment. A hearing in the unusual case was held in U.S. District Court in Atlanta. Tunick, returning from a visit to the Dominican Republic, when he was taken aside for questioning by CBP and FBI agents and had all his belongings searched according to court documents. Tunick's requests to have a lawyer present were repeatedly denied, and when asked to unlock his Google Pixel phone, not an ad, he allegedly supplied a passcode that triggered software that wiped the device. The screen went blank, flashed several times, and the phone appeared to restart, according to CBP officers. Tunick's attorneys are arguing that his constitutional rights were violated, including his Fourth Amendment protection from warrantless search and seizure, even though the interrogation took place at an international airport, and they basically say, you're at the border now, because you're going to get on the plane to go to another country, so we can do whatever we want. And remember the ACLU's map of the 100-mile non-constitutional border zones. Even though the interrogation took place in an international airport, officers are not permitted to disregard all constitutional protections afforded to Tunick simply because he was at the border. Tunick was being investigated because of his activities with an environmental group known as Defend the Atlanta Forest, which opposes plans to build a police training center, so they'll just send a psycho to set it on fire. There is no evidence that Tunick was involved in criminal activity in connection with the Defend Atlanta Forest movement, they said, and the demand to unlock his phone was an illegal fishing expedition. So where are you headed tonight? U.S. courts have held previously, though not unanimously, that a warrantless search at the border is legal, including a forensic search of electronic devices. In Tunick's case, law enforcement seemingly took advantage of the relaxed constitutional protections at the border to try and dig up evidence against him. A trial date has not yet been set. I am not a lawyer. This is not legal advice, but Brave Search told me the ability to wipe a phone by entering a fake code is a unique feature of Graphene OS, a privacy-focused operating system that runs exclusively on Google Pixel devices. The feature, known as the duress password, not available on standard Android or iOS, the process wipes all data without requiring a reboot or displaying an error message to the observer. So it's not like the phone flashes and says, ha ha, I gotcha. They just think, oh, it may be glitched out. And that he is trying to stop a police camp. And not an illegal being rousted by feds at the border says, of course, they all work together to protect the fat blue line, I'll call it. This guy has nothing to do with any international intrigue or being an illegal. They're all just colluding to get what they want. And what they want is their own police data center. Oh, wait, a training center. A few other updates and headlines to get on the record before we take a little more time off this hot, hot summer. They did arrest another guy allegedly connected to that deflocking of Morgantown, West Virginia. New information released in Morgantown flock camera case, alleged accomplice arrested. And watch, you've already seen this story. Towns are ending their contracts with flock and signing new ones with Axon. That's one of the new companies, AXON. Again, it's not about Fauci. It's not about Flock. The agenda rolls forward. They want you to fixate on that jerk. And once we get rid of him, everything will be peachy keen, right? It's not about Fauci, not about Flock, it's not about front. Yeah, it is the agenda. A couple other relateds have been going over on your monarchy. U.S. dollar weakens sharply against Japanese yen after market interventions. There has been, James, some nearly plunge protection team-like shenanigans going on between our two rigged economies. And from right here in New Mexico, crazy intense secret military exercise in Espanola, New Mexico, took residents by surprise. And again, I say, another week in the empire, James.
You know, isn't that the bread and butter old school, like old radios conspiracy stuff, the black helicopter drills and stuff that you're crazy. That doesn't exist. And, oh, wait, maybe it does.
And now it exists and it's good. And now you're crazy if you say you don't like this, even if you, you know, you're a war veteran who had no warning about this and suddenly hears flashbangs and freakouts. Sorry about that.
Yeah. Exactly right. You know, that's the standard play, isn't it? You're crazy for thinking it, or you're crazy for that doesn't exist. It doesn't. Of course it exists, and it's a good thing. Yeah, that old trope. And yeah, as for Axon / Flock / I am against Blackwater, but this Z services sounds good. Oh, wait, no, now they're called Academy. Oh, wait, no, now they're called Constellus. Oh, whatever. I'm for whatever they're called these days. Yeah, exactly. But on the note of the wiping story, yes, it's an important story and something that people should know about. Yes, GrapheneOS has the duress password. And people want to know more about that story and the ins and outs of it. I'll throw in a link to a 404 Media podcast they just did on this, where they were looking at the case specifically and what was going on there. And that, he's not being charged with obstruction of justice, because it's not like they had any actual reason for believing he had any incriminating evidence on his phone. They were just looking for it. So he's being essentially charged with destroying his own property, which is that illegal? Anyway, well, apparently they want him to be illegal. But also, yes, it turns out that this guy, they had this story on that podcast about how some time ago, a couple years ago, I don't know, he was applying to work at some Christmas tree farm or something like that, at this particular activist guy, and they wanted a background check because it was on like school property or something, so he had to get a background check. He had zero criminal record, no convictions, no nothing. So he's like, okay, yeah. And the background check turned out, oh no, we can't hire you, there's something fishy there, but we can't say what. But here's a number for the FBI. You should phone them. And yeah, of course, they are prosecuting someone who dares to be an activist. Not even someone who's been convicted of anything, no crimes, whatever. It's just an activist. And yet, and when you point out, yeah, of course, they're just protecting the fat blue line. I guess my cynicism has come to the point where I didn't even think to question that. Of course, that's what they're doing. Of course, that's why they're stopping this guy. Of course, that's why they're going after his phone. And that, of course, that's why they're angry that he wiped the phone on him. We shouldn't get that complacent where we think, of course, because no, not of course. No, this is completely, stupidly, blatantly, terribly tyrannical. And we should not put up with it. And I think more people should think about Googling their phones in general and maybe having a duress password. Yeah, that might be a good idea for people in the future.
Or if you really have planned out your travel, just mail your device ahead of time and then it's waiting for you when you get there, because you know they all want to go through all your devices all the time. James, yeah, that's pretty brutal new world next week there. But you're right. I hate Clear Channel. iHeartRadio, that's the name of Clear Channel now, iHeartRadio. So all those complaints about Monsanto, what? All that stuff goes away. They change the name, and it malfunctions people. It's fascinating. Good googly mugglers. That is New World Next Week, episode 639. We run newworldnextweek.com. As you may have heard me mention earlier in this episode, we do not sell garbage. We sell our work, our life's work of a combined over 30 years, at least here in Monarchy and Corbett. We run New World Next Week, so you can get some shirts, you can get some hats. You can get my radio play about Danny Casolaro and that software that connects, of course, somehow to the whole Epstein operation. You can get the Corbett Report USB drives. All the work is there. And again, that supports us and helps keep us, as I like to say, fear-free and ad-free. I do play the exclusive audio of these episodes before we publish the video of them. I do that on my Monarchy Radio. That's at MediaMonarchy.com/listen. That's around 10 a.m. Mountain Time here in northern New Mexico. And one last deprogramming note, it is my turn to birthday next week. So we'll be taking a little time off. And James, did you have a little break last week? Did you have fun?
I did indeed. And in fact, you know what? It turns out the James Evan Pilato Birthday Week celebration is now spreading international, and it will also engulf the Corbett Report here in Japan and even Brock in Vietnam. We're going to be taking a week off as well in celebration of your birthday. So
everybody take a week off. Yes. Drinks on me. Yes. Let's all have some good times and remember all the things that we are fighting for against this new world order. James, that is episode 639, my friend. Always an enormous pleasure to be able to do this work with you again, year in, year out, into our second decade.
It is amazing to think how long we've been doing this, and that we're going to continue doing it as long as we are possibly able, but maybe not in the hottest week of August, in the hottest month of the year, you know. But having said that, yes, Corbett Report will be a little quieter throughout the month of August. It will be, but we will be back in 2 weeks with the next edition of Neural next week. So definitely stay tuned for that, and check out the store in the meantime if you want to keep us going and growing so that we'll be back better than ever when we do return. On that note, James Evan Pilato, thank you for what you do. Looking forward to doing it again with you in a couple weeks, and happy birthday, buddy.
Thank you so much, man. Take care. Appreciate you.